Okay, scripture reading this morning is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're using a red pew Bible, it'll be on page 152. And if you found it, would you stand with me if possible, out of respect for God's word? Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Thank you. You may be seated.
Before we get into the text this morning, let's ask God to bless our time in the Word, quiet our hearts. Father, we are so thankful already, even for the time that we've had, focusing on the institution that you have provided for us, a family, the relationships that are represented, the ladies that have been respected, the children that have been given to you. But now, Father, even though today is a day given specifically to the mothers that we're so thankful for, the calling that you've called these ladies to, which is blessed and privileged, help us now to focus on you, to focus on your word, that our attention would be on our Heavenly Father, that our spirit would be one of openness to your word. And Father, I ask you for your help. This is something that I love to do, but I cannot do apart from you. I should not do apart from you. That my heart would be as passionate about this word as I hope and pray that the listeners are. Change us today from this true and constant change agent that is your word. Make us like your son, that we may be servants as your son was to you. In Christ's name, amen. Pastorally, there is nothing more important than what we're going to talk about today. I know it's quite a statement, but there truly is nothing more foundational, more essential than what we're going to study together this morning. And as I began to think about this text, a story came to my mind, something that happened in my wife and I's relationship. And if you know me at all, you know I tend to be a bottom line kind of guy. I appreciate information, I appreciate details, but they're okay, right? I just need to know the bottom line. And one time I was hanging out with my wife and her dad, and we were all together, and Julia was telling a story. And her dad said, "Julia, short version." And I thought, oh, that seemed to work. Gentlemen, there are some things only dad can say. So one time later, she was telling me a story. And it seemed, the details were nice, right? But I kind of just wanted to know the bottom line. So I said, "Julia, short version." The conversation was much longer after I said that. So why do I start there? I've come to discover that as I interact with people in ministry, and even as I think about myself, when we come to God's Word, we tend to want, even though it might be unfortunate, we tend to want the short version. We tend to just want the bottom line. We tend to just want to know what we need to know. And there's some benefit to that. If we come to God's Word matter-of-factly and we understand it, and we know that there's truth, and we endeavor to find the bottom line truth, then that is incredibly valuable. However, I don't think that tends to be the reason we just want the bottom line. I'm afraid it's too often because it's a lot of work to study Scripture. However, some passages help us with this bottom line tendency. They just give us what we need to know. The Pharisees asked Jesus Christ this question. What's most important among all the laws, Jesus? Again, trying to trap Jesus, trying to get him to compare one law to another so that they can begin this theological discourse and discredit Jesus. And he points us to a bottom line passage. He makes it very simple. Well, don't you know? And then he quotes our text for today. If I could give you a bottom line for the way I run youth ministry downstairs, if I could give you a bottom line for the way that I preach, if I give you a bottom line for how I endeavor to operate my life, and that I pray for this ministry, it would be what we're talking about today. Starting in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, all the days of your life. And the days of your life may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your eyes, of your house, and on your gates. I'm going to make a statement that may sound very judgmental. I can tell you how much you love God. I can. By how much you love God's Word. Today we're going to talk about this reality. If the Bible is not where you found your life, God will not be where you place your love. If the Bible is not where you found your life, I can guarantee you God is not your primary love. If you do not run to God's Word for everything that you need in your life, for how you parent, mothers, for when you need constancy, for when you need peace, if the Bible is not where you run, you don't know and love God as you should, and nor do I. Let's first of all talk about in our passage some preliminary considerations. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me, Moses, to teach you, that you may do them in the land in which you are going over to possess it. You can hear Moses' matter-of-fact terminology here. Moses tends to be an eloquent speaker, but here you can almost hear his, all right, here's the deal. Let's talk about what's most important. We're going to go somewhere and we're going to experience blessing. And when we get there, this is what's going to be important to us. Do you understand? You can hear Moses' strong, confident, urgent leadership. This is what we will do. And he will eventually get to why. What are we to do? That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes. Obey. Obedience begins with reverence. Obedience begins with reverence. You will not obey God if you do not honor God. It is that simple. When you find yourself in a situation in your life in which you are having trouble doing what God says, you need to back up and figure out not why you're having trouble obeying, but why you're having trouble honoring. Because obedience comes when I properly fear God as I should. Now, this is not cowering in fear, expecting God to strike me with a lightning bolt at any time. This is understanding who he is and giving him the honor that he deserves. This is acknowledging myself in comparison to who he is. And when we do that, proper reverence will begin to fall into place. This made me think of a manager that I worked for during my high school years. He was such a good boss that I just wanted to do a good job because I liked the guy. He was so good to me that I wanted to be good at my job. Now, it's not that I, you know, showed up to work every day and said, well, let's just be mediocre today. I wanted to do a good job anyway. But as I began to work for this guy, it's like he invested in me. He cared about me. He wasn't just a manager. He had a relationship with me, and I wanted to honor him with my work. This is what we're talking about. You begin to respond in obedience to God when you realize all that he's done. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, according to all the things that we talk about in Romans 1 to 11 that we got to talk about in March, all that he's done, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It only makes sense once you take into consideration all he's done for you, that you begin to submit your life, every single part, to him. Obedience, secondly, is a continual commitment, which I command you all the days of your life. Honor and reverence and worship of God is not a Sunday morning only activity. And if that is your mentality, you don't honor God on Sunday morning either. I live for God in the million tiny moments that make up my life when I get to choose him one decision at a time. One decision not to blow up in the flesh. One decision to point that child to God's word. One decision, moms, to show patience and kindness. Even when, especially when the child does not deserve it. Why? The teens, and we talked about this morning. Because God has put up with people like you and me for hundreds of years. And I do what I do daily because God deserves it. Thirdly, and this is not social gospel, do not misunderstand me. Obedience does bring about blessing. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them. Don't just hear the command. Don't just know God's word in your mind intellectually. Don't just stack up theological knowledge about God. Don't just memorize verses so you can quote them. Be careful to do them, that it may go well with you Now, you and I should not obey because of the blessing. We understand that. There's some serious doctrinal error out there that encourages this. You give your best to God, and God will make your life just this happy, big, massive hug, and everything is going to be okay all the time. Unicorns and rainbows in your spiritual life. And anyone who knows anything about God and their spiritual life knows that's not true. Because God very often, in his sovereignty, brings about struggle. Because he wants us to turn to him. So we do not obey because of the blessing. We obey because we understand we're already blessed. So do we obey? And do we obey for the correct reasons? Well, I mean, I got the Ten Commandments down. I mean, I'm not, you know, committing adultery or killing anyone. Good. It's a start, right? I'm not stealing. I don't know, maybe you are. What about when he says these, as was already mentioned, six things the Lord hates? Pride, lying, tearing one another down. The things that are so easy for us to do because they are so in our sinful fleshly nature. Are you obeying God? Because if the answer is no, you must identify in your life which way and in what manner you're dishonoring him. So what remedies this? What helps me better honor God? Better knowing him. And how do I do that? Secondly, preliminary considerations in the premier commandment. This is the bottom line. This is what you know, need to know for your life. When everything else comes crashing down around you, when that job doesn't work out again, when you feel so unloved, when a circumstance that you know by your own choices you are in is discouraging you and causing you fear, hear, O child of God, chosen one, the Lord our God is one. This is not a statement of the Trinity. He's not saying all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one. He's saying there's only one God. This is a statement of his singularity. You shall love him with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. This is what you need to know. How are you going to get through your spiritual life when it gets really difficult, when it gets really discouraging, when you feel like you've failed again and you'll never get through it? How are you going to recover from that person who hurt you so deeply? How am I going to help this child who is so wayward? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your might. The focus is on you. You are responsible for yourself. If you go through and count the yous and yours, there's something like 31 in this text. It's very clear who he's talking to. He's talking to you. Don't worry about other people and how they're doing in their spiritual lives until you're focusing on your own heart. Do you love God with all of who you are? Now, people get into, this is where people get into, really smart people that I can't really talk to, get into really nerdy theological conversations, and they go here and they talk about how God made us. Did he make us one soul and one body, or one soul and one spirit and body? And they have this big theological debate about this passage. If you really want to know what it's called dichotomy versus trichotomy. You don't care, I don't care. So why do I bring it up? Because it doesn't matter how many parts there are, it matters how many parts there are of you that are submitted to God. What part of you is not given to God? That's what matters. And you will find that you are either all submitted to God in your heart, or in your heart and in your mind completely, because you can't be all three. If you're not submitted to God in your heart, you will not be submitted to God in your body. If you're not submitted to God in your mind, you will not be in your heart and your soul. It all works together. You're either all three or none. So what part of you is submitted to God or not submitted to God? Is there anything in your heart and your life that you come to and you say, God, you can have this one and you can have this one and you can have that one, but that person or that thing, I'm just not sure about that yet. Then the reality is, I love you, but the reality is you're not completely submitted to God as a servant. One of the problems with our human nature is that we love disproportionately. And we do this even in our human relationships. I prove this a lot. Because I love my wife completely with my heart and my soul. I really do. And in my mind, I do. But sometimes my mind's just not there. She'll say, hey, do you remember what we talked about? And I'll say, we did? Oh, yeah. And sometimes I say, yeah, because I don't want her to know that I don't remember, right? So mindless again. Yeah, we talked about that. Definitely. And I can't remember what I concluded. What did I conclude, honey? So in my heart and in my mind, of course I love my wife, but sometimes she doesn't have my full mind and attention. And we do this with each other all the time. Yeah, I love you. I love the people in my church. But I want to leave this fellowship as soon as possible. I mean, I love the people that I am in Sunday school with, but when that person talks, it's just, whatever. We do love disproportionately, because it's in our nature to naturally love something. It's in our fleshly nature, not the nature that God has given us, to love something with the expectation that what I give, I can get. Which is how we go from obey God because you're blessed to obey God and your life will just be dandy. Because now God is this vending machine that I can put in what I think he deserves and then expect a bunch of stuff out. Rather than someone that I love, heart and soul, that I recognize that has given me everything and without whom I would have nothing, and he deserves all of me. Thirdly and finally, very quickly, our primary calling. You shall teach them. Teach what? These commandments. To your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Moses gives us some contrasts here in his speech. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when there's downtime, and not when you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're together spending time out and about, when you lie down, when you rise. God's word is permeating your life, or should be. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Now, the Hebrew people literally did this. They'd have things that they wear, phylacteries, and they would write God's word. They would write messages on scripture passages on their doorposts. Whether you do that literally or not, the point is God's word should dominate everything about your life. So does it. Because if I were with you right now and a preacher said that, I would have said amen as well. In my heart, I was, yes, 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 I believe that. So why do I run to so many other things when life gets tough? Why do I run to so many other things when I need joy and constancy and I think they'll make me happy and eternal pleasure and eternal satisfaction and truth is right before me and all I need do is come to this book and say, God, speak to me. I need you. Unfortunately, in our nature, it is so in us to run to everything except the one who can do the most for us, loves us the most, has eternal wisdom and knowledge, has our entire lives in his perfect hand, and he does not hold our hands, our lives with feeble hands. This is Mother's Day. So why would I talk about this passage? Teach them. Not just mothers, fathers, church members. Teach them diligently. Keep the word before them. I pray one day when God blesses us with kids, I pray one day my kids will know where I will be at 6 o'clock in the morning, what I will be doing. One of my spiritual heroes told me that one time he was downstairs doing his devotions and his daughter brought her. She got up with him. She just knew he would be there. She brought her little Bible coloring book and did her devotions with him. I pray that my children, when they ask my advice about something, will know to the point of annoyance that I will say, well, let's see what the Bible says. Because if I can't give them the well, then I'm just giving them little tiny drinks. Rather than pointing them to the God of all wisdom, who cares far more about them than I ever could. Is the word where you run? Is God's word the most important foundation of your life and your family's life? Do you teach those around you that the first thing they must do, not just when life gets difficult, but when life is great at all times, to run to the Word, because God will meet you there. We often, one of my favorite parts of my job is when I study a passage of Scripture, I get to read not just the Bible, but people way smarter than me that have studied it. And I just think, oh, it'd be so amazing to sit and talk to this scholar. It'd be so amazing to sit and talk to my favorite Christian author who might be a pastor today. I would just love to talk to them. And then we think things like, oh, it'd be so amazing to be one of the 12 disciples and follow Jesus around and hear what Jesus said. I know what Jesus said. He told me. I can follow him around. I can talk to him. And he wants me to. It's not one-sided. Do we found our lives in the Word of God? The only thing that will not fail us or change. When we do, we will begin to experience a joy that God himself has designed and that only comes from that relationship. Even the most satisfying relationships that God has allowed us to enjoy in this life pale in comparison to the opportunity to meet God in his word and hear from the King of Ages that he loves us and that he shares his wisdom with us. Found your life in the word. You will find that the rest of your life, with its struggles, with its pains, will take care of themselves. Because you will know the God of those struggles and of those pains. Love him. Love his word. And I promise you, everything about your life will be okay. Let's pray. Gracious Father, help us to found our lives in the word. Help us to understand the wisdom that is available to us, the relationship that is available to us. Help these mothers and these fathers whom we're so thankful for in this place. Strengthen these ladies as they have the opportunity to disciple their children. Strengthen us as a body of believers who help one another, that we may know your word, and as the prophet Jeremiah says, they may be to us the joy and the rejoicing of our soul, and we might eat them and be satisfied. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.